podcast uses profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to Helen Hill's podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And we have a special guest of Leo.
Leo. So
if you hear him whining or heavily panting, it's because he's chunky. He struggles to breathe. I know it's just a baby thing, but he's cute as a button.
Just figuring out the world and Bryce's headphones.
And my last nerve. Oh, hold on. There go the headphones. Anyways, how are you?
I'm good. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
It's St. Patty's Day. And he's wearing green.
My kids did not. They ate green.
Did your children get pinched?
I don't know, but if they did, it'll do them some good. They'll be all right.
Listen, my children were dressed in green today as well, and their backup clothes I made sure were also green.
Because I'm the blowout clothes.
One. Yeah. You don't have to say mean things.
Look, bless just because it's mean does not mean that it's not true.
Listen, Amanda's referring to the fact that my children have had my one child has had something going on with his belly. He's had a blowout basically every morning for probably a week now. I just started them on probiotics. I'm hoping it slows down.
Poor guys.
It also, in case you're wondering, it is not the one on my lap. It's JJ, who is happily watching Thelma the Unicorn behind me and being the best little man ever.
Leo's got stuff to do.
Yeah, and let's get on his mom's last nerve. Look at him. He's thinking that he's like, how do I get on the other nerves too? How do I restore the other nerves to get on them?
He's so funny. Look at him. And he knows it.
Anyways, how are you?
I am good. We did some fun St. Patrick's Day. Just a couple things with the kids. They had green eggs and ham for dinner. And because I'm extra and because I have a lot of cake decorating stuff, I put some like gold glitter in the eggs, which she lost her mind over. And then I also put some little stars, sprinkles in Annie's eggs, which James was like, are those sweet? And I was like, yeah, a little. He's like, that's disgusting. I'm like, she's three.
She doesn't care.
She'll love it. Yeah.
She's going to think it's the best thing. She's going to ask for it every single morning.
I was like, I guarantee you these stars will be gone before she eats anything. And she was like digging through her scrambled eggs to find the stars. And I'm like, chill. It's only like five in there. Chill out. So, yeah, she did not care. Speaking of not care, what she did not care for was the leprechaun. Ham. No, she loved the green eggs and ham. She did not care for the leprechaun pee. We put some green dye in the toilet. And James took her to potty. And when she opened up the lid of the toilet to put her little chair on, she goes this.
Can you blame her?
And James was like, oh, the leprechauns, they pee-peed in the toilet. And she just, like, was not having it. Like, she was completely aghast at like this disgusting green, these gross leprechauns. Yeah, she was not having that. So definitely doing that again next year.
Good. Do it again.
Could you? Absolutely.
It's been a night. I had such a great day yesterday and then this.
Poor guy.
Listen, I was God's favorite for like 30 seconds yesterday and now I'm like bottom of the list.
Oh yeah, you need to figure out what you did and you need to write it down step by step and tell me how you did it. Because Bryce cracked the parent code.
I lucked out. I don't, you know how like when you're playing a game and they have the combinate like the combos and you don't know how you're just randomly clicking buttons.
Hitting buttons, yeah.
Yeah, that was me yesterday and it worked. I don't know what combination of buttons I hit, but I did. Because let me just tell you, yesterday. Best day. Because first of all, let's put it this way. I got sleep.
That's always a good day.
Yeah. So I got sleep. And then even JJ came. Normally, JJ, when he comes into bed with me, he wants something, and then he wants to go to bed. He doesn't want to snuggle. He wants to watch Thelma, or he wants to do something else and have like tap time or something. But it's not. He doesn't want to snuggle. That's not. He's not a snuggle bug.
Okay.
JJ, yesterday morning, he came into the bedroom. It was like 5 a.m. or something. Cody handed him to me. He snuggled in, and we fell asleep.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then we got up comfortable. Cody made breakfast. Like, it was a nice, relaxing morning. Cody got up with Leo. Me and JJ got to stay in bed for a little bit longer. We got up. Cody was making breakfast. He got the boys their bottles. I was able to easily pump. And then, anyway, so the boys were able to do their thing. And then it was nap time. Like, right as Cody was leaving for work, the boys needed to go down for a nap. And I was like, I'm going to try to put them in their cribs because I want to see how it goes. Both of them out like a light in their own cribs for like an hour.
What did you do with your life?
I think I did dishes.
Oh, yeah.
First nap of the day in their cribs for like an hour. Okay. And then I went grocery shopping with the boys because I just needed to go grocery shopping. And I decided, and I hadn't done this before. Normally I push the stroller and pull a cart behind me, but it's such a hassle. I didn't want to do that. So I put one of the boys, because now the boys are sitting up on their own. So yeah. I put Leo in the cart. And then I wore JJ.
Mm-hmm.
JJ fell asleep on my chest while we were walking around. I was a little irritated because I was like, you couldn't have done this at the start of the shopping trip. But he did it towards the end. But I was irritated because I was like, gosh, dang it. He's going to wake up when I put him in the car seat. And that's going to be a long drive home.
Yeah, the mini naps. They get you every time. Well, almost every time.
He stirred a little bit in the car seat, like during the transfer, but he fell right back asleep before I even got Leo in the car. Like, he was back asleep. So I get Leo in. Leo falls asleep almost immediately as well. And I'm like, gosh, this extra sucks now because when I get them in the house, they're both awake and they only have little micro naps.
Yeah.
So I went and I got them both. I don't know how I did this. Zero clue. I was able to get them both into the house and into their cribs while they were still asleep. And they slept for like another half hour when we got home.
How easy was it putting the groceries away?
It was. Well, I mean, it would have been easier had I not made like 1,000 phone calls to be like, miracles just happened. Oh my God. Mom, Ashlyn, Cody, miracles are happening. And then first of all, I know it'll never happen again. I get this is a once in a lifetime thing. That was the second time they napped at the same time. So, like...
Second time in 9 months?
In a day.
Oh.
I can get them to nap at the same time sometimes, but not all the time. Anyways.
Not more than one time a day.
Yeah. And so, like, big success. So, they get up, we do our thing, they take a third nap at the same time in their cribs.
Are they lulling you into a false sense of security?
No, because I haven't even been with them all day today, and they've been a nightmare. I had zero sense of security. I knew it was only like half of a minute that it was going to be so nice and calm and a great day. But it was so nice yesterday. So we were supposed to record, and I said, look, I found a couple articles I'm going to read and add to my notes, and also kind of just want to hang out with the boys and continue having this really magical day before it ends, because I know it'll never happen again. Like, are you seeing this child behind me?
Yeah, he's busy
just tap dancing on that last nerve of mine tonight. So that was like just the most magical thing. Magical. Let me just tell you, it was incredible. And then we go into today like this. JJ woke up. Okay, Leo woke up at like 4:30, came into bed. I was snuggling with him because, like I said, he'll snuggle and fall right asleep in the big bed. And then JJ woke up at like 5, and I had to get him to stop crying so he didn't wake up Leo. And the fact that I was exhausted, I kicked Cody out of bed. And I had to hold my phone so he could watch Thelma the Unicorn. And I don't have an easy way. I need to get like a projector that just goes onto the ceiling.
Yeah. Oh, I yeah. I had
to hold it up. And so, yeah, that was my day. That was our morning. So I've been awake since 5. No naps.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yep. That's my life. The good day ended very abruptly. Okay.
I'm sorry. It feels like they're never long enough.
It's never. I just need more night so I get more sleep.
That, yeah. I feel you on that. I'm still getting used to the time change, which is just, at this point, barbaric. Because why do we still have a time change?
I only just barely changed my car clock to show the time change. I got in today and I was like, it is not 3:30.
Did I change my car? I did not. I should probably check that. Just partying.
It's going to be a rough night. Gonna be such a rough night of him. Anyways, so how are you? Did I already ask that? I'm real tired, so I don't know what's happening.
You did already ask.
We talked that, about Annie great. And the stars. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, my head is out in the stars right now because I'm so exhausted. I wonder who could be keeping me up at night. Maybe the child chewing on a diaper.
Yeah, the one raven back there.
Keep an eye on him. but anyways, yeah, any other updates you want to share?
There was some. I can't remember if I told you or not. So I have a therapist. I'm in the process of getting a psychiatrist. We'll see. Yeah, we did talk about being neurospicy. We'll see. I believe she's going to take a listen. So hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy. Don't use this to diagnose us for anything.
Please, God, no.
Don't use this as a tool. Do not use this as a tool to diagnose anything else for Amanda, okay?
No. Trust me, I don't need any help, okay? No, I do need help. I take that back.
I was thinking about that since we talked about it last, and I was like, God, maybe it's not a good idea to let her therapist listen to the podcast.
Just don't use it to judge my IQ, okay? Because I promise, it's not a lot, but I am more intelligent than I come across in some of the words that I try to use on here
voice.
Before Bryce stops. Yeah, that's the one. It's exact what I'm talking about. Coice.
Yeah. I don't know what episode that is. You're going to have to go back, Amy, and figure that out. But just know, I had to stop and be like, wait, what's a coice?
I'm pretty sure, for one, it was one of the disappearance cases. I don't remember which one. Oh my gosh. It was one of the guys that disappeared.
And I'm pretty sure a girl. I think it's a girl.
I think it was a guy because he was with his friend.
It was. Yet he is.
I don't think it was Mark Kilroy.
No. Mark Kilroy was Mexico. It was in. It was in the Europe area.
Oh my gosh! It was in the beach town.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's murder. It's not Chandler Halderson.
I'm pretty sure you named the episode something about a coy.
I know, but I don't always put the names on here. Hold on.
That's going to drive me crazy though, because his name is right there. And I remember the story. Oh, I feel like a horrible person.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about though.
I'm going to have to pull that up.
Hold on. I know what one you're talking about. I think the word conundrum might have been in the title. Oh, I know. Oh, I found it. Hold on. Episode 102, Lars Metunk.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember the details after you said it was with his friend and all that stuff. I was like, wait.
Yeah, like, I can see his face. He's blonde. Yeah, I remember it now. That's the one.
Yeah. Lars Matonk. And I identified that because of the title, which I believe I labeled the Coyce Conundrum. Yeah, the Coyce Conundrum and the Hoo-Ha Auxiliary Base. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
It'll all make sense when you guys go listen to it. It's fine. So if you haven't
episode listened, 102, that's where Coyce was born.
I don't know that it was born or if that's where it
showed itself. That's when it was introduced.
Notoriety.
Yes.
Notoriety.
That's. I was gonna say that's how that word is said, but I have no right to be snarky about how to pronounce words. So I'm just gonna keep my Coyce to myself.
Anyways, are you ready to talk about some socials?
Yeah, let's chat.
Well, we have them. We've got X, Helen Heels Podcast. Yeah, Helen Heels Podcast. No, X. I said X. Helen Heels Pod. Yeah. I was saying it right the first time. Twitter, Helen Heels Podcast. Facebook, Helen Heels Podcast. We have our Discord. If you want to join us on Discord, you can join us there. We also have our Linktree, which is going to be the easiest way to find the link to our Discord or to our Instagram or to all the things. Just Google Helen Heels Podcast Linktree. It should be the very first thing that comes up. That's going to have the links for everything. Patreon, not Patreon. We don't do Patreon. X, Twitter, which are one and the same. Guys, I'm tired. Instagram, Facebook, Discord, all of the links for all of the things. It's also going to have a link to our email. So if you guys have suggestions, words of encouragement, whatever you guys want, you can email us, hellonheelspodcast@gmail.com. Also, just keep in mind, guys, if you enjoy listening to our stories and all of that fun stuff and the Coyce type of things that come up, I lost my train of thought. Oh, sorry. If you enjoy listening, it's going to be a rough one. Anyways, if you enjoy listening, make sure to tell friends, family, therapists about listening to us. And, you know, that way we can continue to spread the word and keep making these for you. All right. Are you guys ready for story?
I mean, you're doing true crime, so I'm tempted to say yes, and it's, I don't think I am, though.
I realize now that I also forgot to put pictures in, but I'll do that in just a second. But I'm going to do that, and I'm going to preface. I cannot speak. I'm sorry. I'm going to preface this by saying, I'm sorry, this is an accidental two-part episode.
Oops.
Sorry, I started this, and I was looking at the notes, and I went, oh, shit, these are really long. So I told Amanda today, it's a two-part. My bad, okay? I'm sorry. I know we just did a two-part episode of Amanda's. It was Amanda's, not mine. Okay, I know that was like half a second ago.
Why am I under attack? Mine's in the past.
I'm just saying, it's not like I'm doing two back-to-back ones in a row. And anyways, what was I saying? Oh,
two-parter.
So
two-parter.
I did mention last episode that this was a case that we're all going to love to hate together. Amanda's face just went off fudge because she now knows what the case is because we talked about it. And before I go on, I'm going to just preface this again. I said it correctly that time by saying everything we're talking about is alleged. Okay. Just going to tell you the details I could find. I know my opinion. I know everyone else's opinions, but we are going to be talking today about the case of Casey Anthony. More specific, Kaylee Anthony. So we're going to be talking about the case of Casey Marie Anthony, who was born on March 19th, 1986. If you guys don't know this case, you've been living under a rock.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway, so Casey was, from what I could find, she was originally born in Warren, Ohio, though at some point they would end up in Orlando, Florida area. She was one of two children. Her parents, Cindy and George Anthony, had her and a boy. Her father, George, worked in law enforcement. I didn't really see anything about what Cindy did. From what I found, it was a relatively normal childhood. Now, I will say, Casey, she was described as bright and personable young lady. She had a lot of friends. And from the outside looking in, she was quite ordinary. Now, her friends would say they would start noticing a pattern with Casey Anthony that would begin around high school. And they started noticing that she was a fucking liar.
Oh, okay.
Her pants were literally always on fire. And so they noticed this, and she kept her lies going on for a hot minute. As in, her parents and her grandparents would attend her high school graduation and then find out that she was actually several credits short of being able to graduate. So, like, they went to the graduation, found out she wasn't even graduating.
Oh, she was one of those, like, one of the people that, I mean, I know we've talked about multiple that just kept the lie going. And, like, when we say snowballed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So she had stopped attending classes near the end of the school year, so she didn't get the credits she needed. Like, honestly, sorry, that's a dumb move, but also dumb high schoolers, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the age of 19, family and friends kind of noticed that Casey says she's putting on a little bit of weight. And let's just all remember, like, weight gain is okay. There's no body shaming around these parts. But her family was like, girl, are you pregnant? And she was like, oh, I'm a virgin. What do you guys mean? I'm not pregnant. Deny. She was adamant she was a virgin. So literally no way she could be with child.
Okay.
But she was. And she didn't come clean to her parents until months into her pregnancy from the sources I could find.
Okay.
Yes. Now, it's not clear who the father of her child was. I'm not sure when they broke up, but she had a fiance at one point. He's now an ex-fiance. She claimed that it was her ex-fiance's child, Jesse Grund. And then she also claimed it was a different man, and this man had actually passed away in a car accident. So she was like, no, I dated him. It's his child. So
that's true. That's tough.
Yeah. And she pointed to, those are the two I could find that were like popping out. But it sounds like she pointed to a couple other men as well. So she went from virgin to player really quick.
Ooh.
Which, like, that, okay, fine. I don't care. You do you. Regardless, she's about to become a mother. And you know what? 9 months flies. That's nothing, right?
Yeah.
So some sources claim that Casey Anthony had considered giving up the baby for adoption, but her mother persuades her not to. It's not clear how serious she had thought about adoption or how serious her mother had been. It's just some sources kind of mention that piece. On August 9th, 2005, Kaylee Marie Anthony would be welcomed into this world. Kaylee and Casey, they lived with Casey's parents for the first couple of years. I just realized I got distracted and forgot pulling pictures in.
I meant to say something, but I didn't.
I'm doing it right now. Sorry, I got distracted.
No, you're fine, because I literally didn't put mine in until you had already, like, until we started the episode and you were talking. And by that point, I'm like, I'm not going to interrupt her. I'm just going to make a folder.
So Kaylee Marie, she's born, and they're living with Casey's parents. And Casey's actually ex-fiance, Jesse Grund. He was actually kind of acting as a father figure for the first few years, even though he knew that the timing of Kaylee's conception made it very improbable for her to be his kid. So it seems like he's a pretty good guy. I'll note, I don't know how involved he was. It sounds like, it, to some extent, he was taking a role of taking care of Kaylee, but it could have been a very small role and not super impressive. So I will say, I don't know what extent he was in her life for, but he does later take a DNA test, and sources say he was not the father.
Okay. Thanks, Maury.
Mm-hmm. On June 15th, 2008, Casey, she would leave her parents' home with the then 2-year-old Kaylee in tow. Sources state that Cindy, Casey's mother, questioned how suitable Casey was as a mother, and this started this major argument between the two.
Okay.
Now, what was said in this argument is unknown, but we know it was a big argument, and Casey was like, okay, girl, bye.
I will say one thing here, like, kind of the wrong time to have this argument when you are the one who convinced her to have this child.
Right. And like I said, I don't know if she was like, well, maybe you should keep it. Like, comment in passing, or if it was like, you're gonna regret this, how dare you, like, yeah. I don't know what those conversations were, so I'm just gonna put it out there. If you guys don't want to be a parent and you're pregnant and you want to do adoption, don't let anyone talk you out of it if the adoption's the right thing for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, just because your parents, your family, your friends think, oh, you should keep it because that's the best thing, you're gonna regret it, blah blah blah, fuck that. Okay. Yeah. Like, you do what you need to do. Okay.
And likewise, if someone is sitting there telling you, like, hey, I don't want to have this child, and they're serious about it, like, because I feel like a lot of people go through that, like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But if it's still going, you know, and the weeks and months are piling up and you're still having that anxiety, leave that person alone and let them make their own decisions that are going to be best for them.
Right. Sometime, like a couple days, some sources gave me the date of June 17th. Other dates said June 16th. It doesn't matter. There are reports that state Casey would tell Cindy they were headed to Tampa for a work trip. And okay. It was, from how I understood this, this was relayed that Casey, Kaylee, and the nanny, if this was the case. Now, I had some sources mention this, some sources did not. But Casey, Kaylee, and a nanny were going on this work trip. Now, during the time that Casey was gone from home, Cindy would call to check on Kaylee all the time. She was worried about her granddaughter. Quite frankly, Casey was young, and being a parent is hard work as is. Like, I'm not a young parent. I have a reliable partner, and it's still hard, right? Like, it is still hard. So being 22, a single parent, and having left your parents' house after a fight, you're staying with your boyfriend of, I believe it was only about a month and a half, 2 months. Seems like maybe you're in a little bit over your head. Now, Cindy, she would call and ask to talk with Kaylee, and she'd be met with the response that Kaylee was with the babysitter, Zaneta Zanny Fernandez Gomez, or not Gomez, Gonzalez. So a lot of times she got that response, she got other responses, but she was not able to talk to Kaylee. On July 13th, 14th, or 15th, sources varied, George Anthony, he would get either a letter or a call, and it was just saying that the car that Casey Anthony was driving was in a tow yard. It had been found abandoned in Orlando, so they towed it off. So he went to go pick it up, and when he's even more alarmed when he gets there. He sees Casey's purse, Kaylee's car seat, Kaylee's toys, and then there is also a strong smell that it was described as organic matter decomposition coming from the trunk.
Oh no.
They did open the trunk. The only thing that was in the trunk was a bag of trash, which that seems weird to me as well. Like, why do you... Didn't say it was like a bag of clothes or it trash. But I guess... I don't know. Why do you have a bag of trash in your trunk?
Because, like, I have a bag of trash in my car from, you know, stuff that, like, if I eat or, you know, bank receipts, stuff like that. In my, like, attached to the gear shift, but
not in the trunk. Yeah, that sounds really weird to me. So Cindy and George, they track down Casey, who was staying with her then boyfriend Tony Lazaro. So they bring Casey home
without her purse.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess maybe if they tow the car, she can't get her purse.
I think the only thing you can get is, like, medications and ID, so maybe she just didn't, I don't know.
Okay. That just feels like, don't shit, but yeah, if it was towed, I doubt they're going to let you get your stuff out.
Yeah, I'm just confused why all of a sudden you're like, without her purse?
Because, like, they towed the car, I imagine he's not going to come down, you know, like, that day. So, like, you're just hanging out, like, you're not... I've had my car towed with my stuff in it.
Are you talking about with her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm assuming she probably was with him when it was towed.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know for sure. I'm just assuming they were together, she parked her car somewhere, had been there for a while because she was with her boyfriend, and then it got towed because it was considered abandoned.
It's just weird to me that you would just not have your purse. I mean, this story gets even weirder, trust me. I don't know why I'm clinging on to this fact right now. But
I don't know either. But anyway, so Cindy brings Casey home, but Kaylee was not in the home with Casey when they had found him. So, from what I could find, Cindy makes a 911 call. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
She makes three 911 calls. We're going to hear all three of them.
Rosing and Timor.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, I drove to the police department here on Pershing, but you guys are closed. I need to bring someone into the police department. Can you tell me where I can, the closest one I can come into?
What are you trying to accomplish by bringing them to the station?
I have a 22-year-old person that has grand theft sitting in my auto with me.
So the 22-year-old person stole something?
Yes.
Is this a relative?
Yes.
Where did they steal it from?
My car and also money.
Okay, is this your son?
Daughter.
Okay, so your daughter stole money from your car?
No, my car was stolen. We've retrieved it today. We found out where it was at. I've retrieved it. I've got that. And I've got affidavit for my banking account. I want to bring her in.
Okay.
I want to press charges.
Where did all of this happen?
Oh, it's been happening.
No, no, but I need to establish a jurisdiction is what I'm trying.
Oh, I live in Orlando.
Yeah, but what address did these thefts occur at?
Well, I guess my residence, I guess.
Okay. That's actually going to be in the jurisdiction of the sheriff's office, ma'am, not the Orlando Police Department.
All righty.
Let me transfer you over to the communications section for Orange County.
Okay. Now, is the Orlando Sheriff's Department the one on 436 is that open this afternoon, this evening?
The substation you're at on Pershing, if it's Orlando Police, we're open primarily during the day.
Uh-huh.
But that's not the sheriff. That's the city police, which does not have jurisdiction for your address.
I know there's a sheriff's department on 436.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to transfer you to the sheriff's communications section, and you can determine that. Hold on.
Okay. Because my next thing will be down to Trout's thing, and we'll have a court order together. If that's what you want to say, we'll do it, and you'll never. Well, then you have on one day. No, I'm not giving you another day. I've given you a month.
Are they talking about a court order to get Kaylee?
Yes. At least that's how I understood it, because Cindy is trying to get Kaylee. She's trying to get Kaylee. She's trying to find her. She went and got Casey, but there was no Kaylee. And Casey's not exactly forthcoming about where Kaylee is and why isn't Kaylee with her and all this stuff.
So the car that was towed, was that her mom's?
Legally, yes.
And she just like had it longer than she was supposed to, or?
No, so this is how I understood it. And I'm so sorry. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But this was Cindy. She basically had authorized Casey to use that car. But because of the circumstances with Kaylee, she was saying, now it is car theft and I'm reporting you for car theft.
Okay. I understand where her head's at. That's not how that works. But I also kind of get like, you know, you're trying to find your granddaughter. So I guess I can understand grasping at straws and the situation.
After this, Cindy, she explains she takes Casey home after this call, and she's starting to ask questions. Casey's brother, Cindy's son, is there. They're asking questions. They're trying to get some answers. And Casey is just insisting that Kaylee, she's with the nanny. She's already asleep. It's not a good time. We can't go get her because we'll wake her up, and then we'll be up with her all night. And we could go get her the following day. And Cindy is just not having any of it. She's getting frustrated. She's to a point where she's like, all right, I'm making another call. So we're going to listen to that one as well.
Okay, what's happening? I have someone here that I need to be arrested in my home.
They're there right now?
I have a possible missing child. I have a 3-year-old that's been missing for a month.
A 3-year-old?
Yes.
Have you reported that?
I'm trying to do that now, ma'am.
Okay, what did the person do that you need arrested?
My daughter.
For what?
for stealing an auto and stealing money. I already spoke with someone. They said they would patch me through the Orlando Sheriff's Department, have a deputy here. I was in the car. I was going to drive her to the police station, and no one's open. They said they would bring a deputy to my home when I got home to call them.
So she stole your vehicle?
Yes.
When did she do that?
On the 30th. I just got it back from the impound. I'd like to speak to an officer. Can you have someone come out to my house?
Okay. Okay, I gotta ask you these questions so I can put them in the call, okay?
Okay.
30th of June?
Yes.
Okay, how old is your daughter?
22.
Okay, what's her name?
My name?
Her name.
Her name, Casey Anthony. C-A-S-E-Y.
And your name?
Cynthia Anthony.
And you said you have the vehicle back?
Yes. I have the statement.
Casey's there right now?
Yes, I got her. I finally found her after a month. She's been missing for a month. I found her, but we can't find my granddaughter.
Is Casey not telling you where her daughter is?
Correct.
Okay, we'll have a deputy out to you as soon as one's available, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
I'm still like, why did it have to come to this? Why? And I'm just going to go along in this story with you, okay? I'm going to try to keep, like, you know, I'm just going to comment as we go along, try not to get ahead.
Yeah.
So, why did her mother have to call the cops twice so far? And she still has not said where her daughter is.
No.
So and her mother hasn't spoke to the daughter, the granddaughter, for a month, right?
Yeah, correct. So Cindy goes on to describe, at this point, she's agitated. She's kind of pacing because, you know, she just made that second phone call. Police are on their way. So she's pacing to, like, the garage area and then to Casey's room. And all the while, Casey is talking to her brother. They're trying to get, you know, information. And during this time, she hears some of the conversation between Casey and her brother while they're trying, because her brother is trying to get details. Casey would finally tell her parents and her brother. She didn't know where Kaylee was. She would tell them she had left Kaylee with a nanny, Zendadia. I feel like that's wrong. But she would leave him with Nanny Zanny on June 16th. And that she had not seen her since because the nanny had kidnapped Kaylee.
And you didn't call anybody? You didn't
call anyone? So Cindy,
that's fine. You're okay with that?
No, NBD. So Cindy, she was angry. She said she had a little bit of a reaction. She makes a third call to 911. And we're going to play it.
911, what's your emergency? I called a little bit ago. The deputy sheriff's telling you I found out my granddaughter has been taken. She has been missing for a month. Her mother finally admitted that she's been missing.
Okay, what is the address that you're calling from?
We're talking about a three-year-old little girl. My daughter finally admitted that the baby's in the store. I need to find her.
Your daughter admitted that the baby is where?
The babysitter took her a month ago that my daughter's been looking for. I told you my daughter was missing for a month. I just found her today, but I can't find my granddaughter. And she just admitted to me that she's been trying to find her herself. There's something wrong. I found my daughter's car today, and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car.
Okay, what is the three-year-old's name?
Kaylee. C-A-Y-L-E-E. Anthony.
Kaylee Anthony?
Yes.
Okay, is she white, black, or Hispanic?
She's white.
How long has she been missing for?
I have not seen her since the 7th of June.
What is her date of birth?
8-9-2000. Oh, God, she's 3. She's 2005. So it's Karen, listen. Karen, listen. Casey said Danny took her a month ago. She's been missing for a month.
Okay, can you calm down for me for just a minute, and just, I need to know what's going on, okay? I'm going to try and talk.
I'm sorry, we can go with the phone.
Is your daughter there?
I'm on the phone with them.
Is your daughter there?
Yes.
Can I speak with her? Do you mind if I speak with her? Thank you.
I called them 2 hours ago. They haven't gotten here. They finally admitted
to
Danny
Brooker a month ago. It's the front of the plane. Ma'am. They want to talk to you.
Answer the
question.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Well, can you tell me what's going on a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me a little bit what's going on?
My daughter's been missing for the last 31 days.
Yeah. And you know who has her?
I know who has her. I've tried to contact her. I actually received a phone call today now from a number that is no longer in service. I did get to speak to my daughter for about a minute.
Okay, did you guys call and report a vehicle stolen?
Yes, my mom did.
Okay, so there's been a vehicle stolen too?
No, this was my vehicle.
What vehicle was stolen?
It's a 98 Pontiac Sunfire.
Okay, I have deputies on the way to you right now for that. But now your 3-year-old, okay, your 3-year-old daughter is missing. Kaylee Anthony.
Yes.
White Kaylee female.
Anthony. Yes, white female.
3 years old, 8/9/2005 is her date of birth?
Yes.
And you last saw her a month ago?
31 days. From 31 days.
Who has her? Do you have a name?
Her name is Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez.
Who is that? Babysitter?
She's been my nanny for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Why are you calling now? Why didn't you call 31 days ago?
I've been looking for her and have gone through other resources to try to find her, which is stupid.
Okay. Can you give me the name of the nanny again? Like, spell it out for me.
Zenaida, Zenaida.
Last name?
Fernandez? Hyphen Gonzalez. I think the officers are here.
The officers are there?
Yes.
Okay, hold on a second. Don't hang up with me yet. I need you. Okay.
So that's the end of the 911 calls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So do we ever find out what these other resources other than the fucking police are that she talked about?
I'll see if I can find it before next episode. I haven't seen any mention of what she claims those other resources were. I just don't know what other resources she would be doing. I mean, first of all, I want to keep in mind, if it was like a private investigator, they're pretty expensive. Private investigators can be. She's 22 years old.
Right.
I guarantee she does not have a good enough job. And I know she's living at home. I get that. But she has a child. She has expenses, but there's no way she can afford a private investigator. On top of that, she's 22 years old with a nanny.
Yeah, that. And even then, like, most of the time, I feel like maybe private investigators work with police. And
yeah,
I feel like if you call a PI, now somebody out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but very ignorant me, I feel like if you call a PI and you're like, hey, my daughter's missing. I haven't seen her. This is who had her last. I feel like that PI just might say, hey, we should call the fucking cop.
Might be a good idea to call law enforcement at this point.
Right. Let's start with
Oh, crap. Bryce, what's that number? It's three numbers. You call it in an emergency. 411?
No, 911.
That's the one. 911. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. A month.
Yeah.
And she said that she had talked to her that day.
Very convenient, yes.
Okay. And she talked to her daughter.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what she says. Yeah. So July 15th, 2008, Kaylee is officially reported as missing by Cindy. Cindy had called Orange County Sheriff's Office, reported her missing the 31 days. Here's 31 days, and her own mother wasn't the one that reported her, but her grandmother, who had only just barely learned of the missing toddler. And
had
you
to fight it, pull it out of her.
You could hear on, and I'll try to put this in, but you could hear Cindy say, I can't find my granddaughter. It smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car.
Uh-huh.
And then she goes on, you know, freaking out, saying that she's been kidnapped. And then grandma is distraught. She is besides herself. And then Casey gets on and it's like, hello? Change of tone, like, was very, very crazy.
That's one thing that struck me, too, is, like, the phone calls. Like, the first one, Cindy seemed kind of pissed off. The second one, she seemed kind of frustrated. And then the third one, she is frantic. Mm-hmm. And at one point, it sounds like she says, George, we can't find Anthony or something like that. And then it sounds like she says, George, we can't find Kaylee. And then I assume George says or asks if anyone's called the police because she says, I'm on the phone with them now.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like grandma and grandpa are doing what I'm going to throw out a random statistic here. 85% of people would do in an emergency and call emergency services.
I think more than 85% of people would do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm counting in like criminals and, you know, people that don't have good reputations or don't trust the police.
I still maintain, I think it's higher than 85%, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to be lenient here. Oh, okay. Here, how about this? What a rational human being would do in this situation?
100% of the rational human being would do this.
Call the police. So they sound like they're on it. She's
so distraught.
And even watching her, because the videos Bryce played, you can find them on YouTube. We all know this by now. But they're playing them in court. And Cindy looks like she's on the stand while they're playing them. First two calls, she was holding it together. During this call, she's still, like, distraught. Like, visibly, she's breaking down, crying. Oh, this is just so traumatic for this poor woman. And then, like you said, Casey answers the phone and it's just very monotone, just very matter of fact.
Yeah, she's very much like, honestly, when she first answers, it sounds like she's been inconvenienced.
I caught that as well. Yeah.
Right. It kind of sounds like she's like, hello?
Yeah. And then what bothered me even more is towards the end of the call when she's blaming it on this. I keep wanting to say Zendaya. I know that's not her name. Nanny
Zenaida, yeah.
Zenaida. When she's blaming it on Zenaida, she almost seems more interested in the conversation.
Yeah.
That's just me, what I got from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now she's invested.
And you hear the operator say, like, you waited 31 days. Essentially, why did you wait? I went through other resources.
Thank God for that operator, honestly, because who does not have this question when it comes to this?
Yeah, it's, you did not wait 31 days because you were going through other resources. Come on now.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we won't start on that right this second. So you might be asking yourself, like, okay, well, what was Casey doing with herself while her child is being held by this nanny?
I would love to know.
In my opinion, and from, you know, an outsider perspective, she was not looking for her. Between June 16th to July 15th, Casey Anthony was living up her life. She was seen at bars, seen at clubs. She was partying. She entered a hot body swimsuit contest. She got a tattoo that reads Bella Vita, Italian for beautiful life. She's the furthest thing from a concerned parent. She is the furthest thing. If one of my children went missing and I, like, let's just say same scenario, I left them with a nanny and this nanny's like, they're mine now. Hell would be breaking loose right now. Every police station, every news station, I would be calling them. I would call all the police. Every last officer would know. I would be calling my parents, more importantly, primarily my dad. Like, all of my family would be, you know, pounding the pavement looking for my children. But, like, I would call my dad and I'd be like, Dad, this is what's happened. And it would then become a race between police and my dad to find the children. And the police better hope they find them first.
It's hard for me to know just in that point right then, like right now, like would I call my dad first or the police first? And I know that sounds crazy, but I mean, sorry, Daddy, but like my dad has more money than I do. So like if there is another resource, he would be able to help me achieve it, you know what I mean? And then furthermore, I know. For one, he would be like, you're stupid, call the police. But also, he would be on his way to Arkansas.
Right.
And I need my daddy here with me if my child is missing.
Right. I would probably call my dad and be like, just get here. I've got to call police. Like, call police.
Yeah.
My dad would break laws getting here. I know he would. You know, I would call police, get police here. You know? I think about even just when I was having the boys, I text my mom and said, they're sending me up for delivery. And I immediately got a call. And she's like, I'm getting Ashton on the phone. Dad's on his way. Like, my parents had extra kids with them. And they made it to me in about an hour and a half, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I can't imagine me calling my dad and being like, I need you here. And I need you here now. But I have to call police. He would be here. No doubt in my mind, he'd be here. He'd be breaking laws. He wouldn't care, you know?
What I can't imagine even more is, I'm just physically ill right now. It may be because I just ate too much chocolate ice cream. But I really feel like Bryce Annie is 3. I cannot imagine her not pissing me off for 31 days. Like, not.
You can't imagine that type of peace because your world, she is part of your world.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, more than a couple hours, like, on the days that it's a bank holiday and not a school holiday and they go to daycare, by the end of the day, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm like, this house is too quiet.
You're missing them.
This is ridiculous. Okay, don't say that. Let's not. But no, you're right. Like, yeah, like, I'm missing them. It's too quiet. I want my babies. Like, I want my snuggles.
I'll say it quieter next time.
Thank you. Don't call me out. Jesus.
Just in case they're.
But like, not only not having my child around for 31 days, going out partying for 31 days. Like, okay. A couple days, maybe, you know, she's with the nanny, right? She's with the nanny. You go out and party for a weekend. Maybe enter a hot bod contest or whatever. 3 days. 4, 5, 6, 20, 31. And during this month, you get a tattoo that means beautiful life while your baby is missing?
While your baby is supposedly being held.
I'm sorry. Yeah, not even missing. Kidnap.
Yeah.
Kidnap.
No way in hell would that be happening.
That just does, I don't, I'm getting loud.
I would be at the door where I left my child with police. I'd be pounding that door down. You let me into my children or I'm going to catch charges here, you know?
I'm going to find you. I'm going to find your family. I'm going to find, someone is going to give me my fucking child.
Mm-hmm. My child is going with someone I trust. In my family, whether I have to go a different way, my child, I'm going to make sure is safe. Yeah. And if this nanny is refusing to give them to me, no longer safe.
And even then, like, okay, it's been 31 days. You were using different resources. Again, not what I would do. I would be like police, FBI, National Guard.
Literally everyone.
Yes. But okay. You're, you know what? Okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I'm going to try to breath. Okay. You're using different resources. Cool. It's been 31 days. I don't think they're fucking working.
No.
When are you going to use the resource that we all fucking pay to use? When are you going to use that resource? The people that are trained to deal with this, but you never did. Your mom did.
Yeah. Well.
Sorry, I'm going to shut up.
No, I get it.
Ooh-hoo!
So, Casey, she's brought in for questioning where she tells police a similar story as she told her family. Detectives would actually find some discrepancies in her signed statement and their questions to her. The biggest discrepancy? The fact that the family and friends had never heard of this babysitter or nanny. Not a single one of them had heard of her. But she said it had been her nanny for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Right. So okay. It would have had to been while she was home as well.
Right.
Someone would have known her, right. Nanny's Annie.
Yeah, so investigators very quickly find that this nanny just simply does not exist. They go to the apartment that Casey had indicated as the home of the nanny, and investigators found that the apartment had been abandoned for over 140 days.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Haley's been missing 31 days.
And this is where she told them she left Kaylee.
Correct. So okay. Then to add on to it, detectives asked Casey to take them to her office at Universal Studios, where she had worked since before having Kaylee. She takes officers to Universal, she leads them around, and then she finally admits she never returned to work for Universal Studios after her maternity leave.
Oh, I'm sorry. Remember that snowball we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, I know. Because here's my question is, what did she think she was going to accomplish by taking officers there?
I don't understand.
I don't understand the point of them going to the park. Like, okay, let's just say, you know, let's just say she's hiding it from her parents that she never returned to work or whatever it is. And she doesn't want them to know. And, you know, police are questioning her. If her parents are there, maybe she's stressed under, you know, like, they still think I work there. But couldn't she have pulled an officer aside and said, hey, I'm so sorry, I lied. I got really stressed. My parents were there. They don't know I never returned to work at Universal. I probably should have told them, and I should have just said the truth, you know, like.
Right.
Okay. Why take them on this wild goose chase around the park?
Yeah,
like I said, why? Why lie to the people trying to find your child?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, okay, snowballed. You told your parents and you're afraid to tell them now. I feel like the time to be honest is when your child is missing and you want her back.
Right. So, police don't really appreciate this, right? Wild goose chase. So she's arrested on July 16th, 2008. And this was after the Universal Studios scavenger hunt. And I really, and I'm not clear on this one, but I really hope she was let out of Universal Studios in handcuffs.
Oh, and when did Cindy call again? You said this was July 16th that July she was officially 16th. Murdered. Cindy, or, I'm sorry, arrested.
Arrested. Cindy called on July 15th.
Oh, okay. They're working fast.
Yeah, they're like, what? She is charged with giving false statements to law enforcement, child neglect, and obstruction of a criminal investigation.
I'm sorry to interrupt you again. Child neglect is like fair when you haven't seen and or reported your child missing for a month, I feel. That's what that was for, that charge?
Yeah. I assume.
Okay. Because so, they don't have anything saying like, oh, well, you know, that to me, that's the only neglect that would make sense in this situation.
Right. So, Casey, she gets arrested and she is immediately denied bail. She is this okay. judge. I assume this is like within the first day. They're like, no, you may not have bail right now. And the judge, and I couldn't find this judge's name, but they stated that Casey had shown, quote, woeful disregard for the welfare of her child. End quote.
Fair. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Yeah. Nail on the head right there.
Yeah. She would go in on July 22nd for another, for a bond hearing. This time bail is set at $500,000. So $500,000.
Not enough.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, I know.
Yeah. This day as well, police officially come out and say Casey Anthony is a person of interest.
Okay. Not a suspect. But yeah. They know something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not adding up, actually.
Right. So she actually has her bail posted about a month later in August. To how I understood this, this was an uncle and a nephew. Tony Padilla, he was the nephew of the bail bondsman Leonard Padilla. But those two, they post her bail in hopes of helping her locate her daughter. Like I said, I believe Leonard is in the same boat. Like, hey, Casey, like, if we post your bail, we'll help you find your daughter. Like, come on. But there was a lot of backlash on this. It was brutal. Like, there was an anger crowd that formed around the Anthony residence. I mean, it was so bad. It ended up that Tony and Leonard, I was going to say Leonardo, sorry. Leonard, they actually revoke her bond. And this effectively sends Casey back to jail. They had attempted to help Casey, but in their statements, Casey seemed to kind of, based off of what I saw, they kind of shunned them, like shunned their help by refusing to speak with them. And it, I mean, it sounded like they were like, Casey, we're going to post your bail. You're going to tell us where your daughter is. You're going to help us get leads. And honestly, I wouldn't want to help her after they shunned me like that, right?
Yeah.
And I have this as Leonard. He labeled Casey as narcissistic and promiscuous after all of this.
And promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, narcissistic, all right, but like, what did you do to get labeled that?
Doesn't matter. So she had 8 days of freedom. She goes back to jail with additional charges of forging checks and identity theft. Girl, bye.
Yeah.
Now, on July 29th, Casey, she is actually, this is before her original bail. So this is a little out of order, but before she has bail posted, she had been offered an immunity deal. It was a limited time immunity deal, and it was in exchange for help finding Kaylee. She would get immunity, and she could take this until September 2nd, 2008. She didn't take it, and it expired. So the search continues. To my understanding at this point, Casey is still maintaining her story that Kaylee had been taken by the nanny. I maintain she is 22, no job, living at home with her parents. How could she afford a nanny? Like, that's, I can't afford a babysitter, and I have a dual income household.
Yeah.
So, like, how could she afford a nanny?
3/4 of my paycheck goes to childcare. Like, I don't, it just, which, like, okay, fine. This is early 2000s, right? 2005?
Right.
Okay, early 2000s, different time, you know, but, like, it doesn't, like, still.
Yeah, this is 2008.
What's going on here? Make it make sense. How are you paying this nanny? Because if, you know what? If you're paying a nanny, it could happen. I doubt it's legally.
But you know what? It's fine if it's not legally, but I also still feel like that's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between a babysitter and a nanny, right? Like, when you hear the word nanny, I'm not saying it's live-in, but that's a more full-time.
Yeah. And they do more. Like, they don't just watch your kids, from my understanding. You know, they also, they cook for them. They clean up after, because they're in your house. I don't know why I made that hand motion like a spider. They're in your house.
I thought you were just placing the house down.
Yeah, I'm just, this is the house. They're in it. Yeah, but they're cleaning up after them. They're cooking for them. I think a lot of times they'll like wash clothes and stuff too. So it's much more.
So I think that depends on the nanny and the job description, that type of stuff, right? But I maintain, how could she even afford a babysitter? And even at that, it sounds like her parents were very involved. And I don't know what Cindy did for work. I don't know. I know that George had some affiliation with law enforcement. I don't know if Cindy was stay at home. I don't know that. But it still sounds like they were involved and there would have been ways that her family could have helped.
And it sounds like her parents, or at least her mom, at the very least, were more than willing to be involved.
Right. On September 5th, 2008, Casey, she is released on bail again. This time her parents posted her bond. They signed a promissory note for the bond. She was fitted with an ankle monitor. And every time they see it in an article, it's labeled as an electronic tracking device. Guys, it's an ankle monitor.
Yeah, it's an ankle bracelet and it ain't one of the pretty ones.
No.
It ain't pearl or jade.
Yeah. Now, during this whole time, Larry Garrison would act as the family's spokesman. And Larry is the president of the Silver Creek Entertainment. And so, you know, he's trying to help the family. He's helping them through a lot of these statements and through, you know, all this stuff coming out, such as on October 14th, 2008, Casey Anthony was indicted by a grand jury. The list of charges include first degree murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, 4 counts of providing false information to police. Now, for those of you she is indicted. So essentially what's happened here, police have gone to a grand jury and they have said, this is the evidence we have. We feel as though we can move forward with a criminal charges. They lay out all their stuff for the grand jury. And the grand jury said, continue forward.
Grand jury said, cool, 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 cool.
Cool, 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 cool. Now, keep in mind, no one knows where Kaylee is still. There's nothing. Casey's not, from what I'm seeing, she's not really being super cooperative. But, okay. So, Casey is again arrested. Now, at this time, Judge John Jordan orders that she be held with, that she's held without bond. And a week after the indictment, the state would actually drop the child abuse charges. This was because the child abuse and neglect charges were based off of the idea that Kaylee Anthony was still alive. So they can't say she's been murdered and alive, right?
Oh, yeah.
So.
That's sad. Yeah. In and of itself, that's sad because I feel like them dropping that charge, that means that they are not thinking she's alive.
Exactly.
Ooh, okay.
On October 22nd, 2008, the family appears on NBC's Today, specifically her parents. So Cindy and George, they appear. They maintain their belief that Kaylee was alive and they would find her alive. On October 28th, Casey would be arraigned and she pled not guilty to all charges. Now, keep in mind, all of this is, again, before anyone even knows where Kaylee is. So then we have Roy Kronk. He calls police about a object. This is out of order. No, this isn't. Sorry. He calls police about a suspicious object he found in a forested area. This is
What did you say his name was? Roy?
Kronk. He is a utility worker. Kronk.
Like pull the lever Kronk?
Yeah.
So this is not the ex-fiance.
No. That's Jesse
Brock? Brock?
Dude, I don't remember his name. Jesse, I'm going up to it, I promise. Grund.
Oh, it's not similar. That's my bad. Okay, pull the lever, Kronk.
Okay, so Roy Kronk, he's a utility worker. He calls police about a suspicious object found in a forested area. This is an area near the Anthony home. He's directed by the sheriff's office to call tip line, so he does. He never received a call back. He makes another call about the object. This time, he meets with an officer. He reports what he saw. He believes he saw a skull near a gray bag. They conduct a short search and then say they didn't see anything. And this was in August. So I'm sorry, I didn't realize my timeline got a little off here. But Roy made those calls August 11th, 12th, and 13th. So, like, he tried.
And you said, because I feel like you kind of just, like, almost casually skated past it. Did you say a skull in a gray bag?
Near a gray bag. But that's what he believed he had seen. And police are like, nay, my friend. Nothing. And I'll talk about this a little bit more. But from what I saw is he kind of mentioned that, like, police were like, you're wasting resources. And he moved on. Okay. We're going to talk more about him again in a little bit.
Which, like, I can't blame him for moving on either because, like, you can get in trouble legally for that. So,
right, Right, right.
Okay. He was admonished and he moved on. Admonished. Yeah. Is that the word I want?
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So keep that in the back of your head. Like, he's called three times. We'll keep talking. Now, in November of 2008, do you guys remember I mentioned Larry Garrison? He was kind of that spokesperson for the family.
Yeah,
he ends up parting ways as the family's spokesperson. And he cites his reason for resigning is because of the family's erratic behavior.
Okay, well, they're a little upset.
Yeah. I did not see any more about what that erratic behavior was. He just says, can't do it. Now, on November 11th, ABC News released an article where Cindy would go on to defend Casey. And this was actually in, like, on a show. I forgot to write down what the show was, but I had all the statements from the article. And Cindy states, Casey's been a victim in this as well. Casey's been grieving for her daughter. You know, this child, everybody in America, anybody that's seen videos of Kaylee or just still pictures of her, Kaylee has captured their hearts. So why is it so unbelievable that someone wouldn't want to take Kaylee as their own? There is no evidence that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Kaylee is dead. So those are just some of the statements that Cindy has made.
Kind of, to me, sounds like Sydney's really clinging to hope here.
She is. And also at this time, Cindy is, she is blaming law enforcement, saying they're not doing enough to find Kaylee. They're not doing enough. She, her biggest thing is there was never an Amber Alert put out for Kaylee. And this is what she says. She says, there's never been an Amber Alert put out for Kaylee. You know, the bottom line is we thought as a family within a couple days, within a week, that no one was actually giving Kaylee 100% effort in looking for her. Cindy, okay. I totally get. I hear you. I get your concern for your granddaughter. I disagree. She has been missing for 31 days. I do not believe an Amber Alert would be effective.
I don't. I agree with you. I was going to say the exact same thing, because where do you even issue that alert? It's been 31 days. She can be anywhere in this country or another one by this point in time.
And the supposed nanny doesn't exist.
Yeah. So what do you really have for the Amber Alert? We know what she looks like. You don't know where she's missing from. The last thing she was wearing.
Yeah.
Who she was with, what, you know, car she was seen in. What,
you no longer know the her hair color anymore.
Yeah. I will say, I remember this child being everywhere. So I would argue, I don't think an Amber Alert was necessary. Everybody knew what this child looked like at that time.
You don't even know who she was last with.
Yeah. Like,
it's, from my perspective, police have enough to be looking at this as a murder.
Yeah.
So I think their priorities are different.
Yeah. I unfortunately agree.
I totally get it. You were holding out this really strong hope that Kaylee was okay. I hear you. I get it. I see it. But I also see the police's side.
So I Googled it just because I was curious. Now, this is Google's AI overview. So, but it says that law enforcement needs to believe a child under 18 has been abducted. Needs to believe she's been abducted. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And is in imminent danger. And they must have sufficient descriptive information about the victim, abduction, suspect, and suspect's vehicle. So according to this, not enough.
Nothing. There, yeah, they couldn't.
Nowhere near enough.
There was no way.
Mm-mm.
Okay. December 8th, 2008, Roy Kronk, the utility worker, calls police again about the same object he had seen in the woods previously.
And the first three times was in August?
August.
Hell yeah, Kronk.
So he calls, and this time the area is searched. And this time the remains of a small child in either a garbage bag or a laundry bag are found. And this was found less than a mile from the Anthony residence. So police now have the remains of a small child. They recovered duct tape, which was hanging, some sources say, from the hair that remained on the skull of the child. There was some uncertainty that comes with this. Some claim it was found near the front of the skull or on the mouth. They recovered a blanket, and over the next few days, they find more remains in the area, more bones. That was on December 11th. On December 19th, 2008, medical examiner Jan Garavagila. I don't know. I'm sorry. Jan, she confirms the remains to be that of Kaylee's. Jan rules that her death was a homicide and the cause of death was undetermined. 6 months after this baby's disappearance, Kaylee was finally found. So now those murder charges don't seem so far-fetched, do they, Casey?
Did you say less than a mile?
Less from the than house? A mile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I will say her date of death is put sometime in June.
When she was supposedly went missing.
Right. I'm going to end here for today, guys. So we're going to get into part two next time. Sorry, not sorry. Now, I want to, again, I know I've prefaced this and said it's alleged. It is alleged, and we'll talk about that more next episode.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you what's not alleged. She was a shit mom.
She was not. I can agree with that. I do not believe her to have been a great mom.
No. Nope. I'll die on that hill.
Yep.
And this is coming from me. Not the best mom. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I'm not perfect. But I'm not that damn bad.
Nope. Nope.
And everyone, put that in your hat for today, okay? Go to sleep with that on your pillow. You're not this shitty of a human. Okay, I'm just gonna quick move on to my story. Okay. Boy, am I glad that I did this. I did this without knowing what Bryce was doing. So I have a UFO story for you.
Oh, thank God! Something not. I'm sorry. I still like. There's so much about this case. Okay, sorry. Quick move on. On to Amanda's story. Go, go, go.
Okay, so DeKalb County is in Northeast Alabama. Yeah, I went back home, guys. Okay. It's pretty rural. That's putting it. It's fucking rural. Okay. The 2020 census said that the population, and this is a county, okay, the population was under 72,000 people. Now, Fife, Alabama, at the time, is a little town within DeKalb County, and as of 2023, this town had about 982 people living in it. Look at the little teeny tiny little town. I don't even think that's a town. I think it's like a, what do they call it? A hermit?
Is the population to be considered a small town? While there's no universally agreed upon population size to define a small town, the U.S. Census Bureau generally considers incorporated areas with 5,000 residents or fewer to be small towns.
Okay, so it's a small town. It's not a hermitage. So, I don't think we have those. I think that's like European hermitage. Anyway, sorry, I'm going off topic here. Now, Fife, and I think I'm saying that right, guys. It's F-Y-F-F-E. Why? Don't know. Like, literally nobody knows. I tried to look at it. Fife is the UFO capital of Alabama. Did you know that? Now you know that.
Okay.
February 11th, 1989, a woman called the local police department to report a strange object in the sky that she had been watching for 45 minutes.
Girlfriend, that's a long time.
That's like, I feel you, because I feel like I would also be just, like, peeping out my window, but also, like, that's kind of ballsy. Like, don't you, like, can they see you? Like, are you just sitting out on your front porch, smoking a cigarette and drinking a sweet tea and being like, look at there, Jim Bob, what you think that is? Because that's what I think of Alabama. I mean, yeah, I grew up there, trust me, it's pretty accurate. Ask anybody. So, now, eventually, about 50 people will have filed reports between February 11th and February 12th of 1989. Now, this is 50 people
out of, because this happens between a couple of different towns, out of the most common number I saw was about 2,500. That's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah.
So, and now this includes the chief of police, Charles, he went by Junior Garmany, and his assistant chief of police, Fred Work. And he does, he worked. I saw it. One eyewitness report described the object, and this is a quote, at an angle from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock, with bright lights at the top and bottom. The curvature was outlined in green with a real bright light in the center.
Okay.
Garmany and the assistant police chief, Fred Works, they had reportedly just clocked in when they were dispatched to this call. And I'm sorry, that has to suck, right? It's the 1980s, like 1990s. You clock into work at night. So they're on night shift. You clock into work. And dispatch is like, hey, this woman just saw a UFO. Can you go check it out?
I'd be like, no.
I would be like, can I get a cup of coffee, Janet?
Let me do something first, okay?
Like, the disbelief has to be... You know what? Actually, when I was still in animal control, and at this point, I was about 6 months pregnant, I think, because I was still doing on-call. So okay. I'm 6 months pregnant. I'm already tired and pissed off and my pants barely fit and my freaking the vest, the bulletproof vest barely fits over my belly. And
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I get a phone call and it is dispatch. Still cringe when I hear that ringtone. But it's dispatch calling to tell me that there is a woman with an alligator on her back deck.
No.
I guarantee you. This is exactly how these guys felt, because she lives in the middle of town, not like in the bad part of town. She lived in the middle of a significant town, significant population, in the middle of a neighborhood. And I'm like, it's, by the way, like 11:30 at night. And I'm just like, did she see the alligator? And dispatch is like, no, she saw it on a camera. Okay, can she see it through a window? No, she's afraid to get through the window. Why? They don't, like, so, long story short, I ended up calling my supervisor to ask, like, do I really have to go out for this? Because I will say, like, it's not unheard of. Alligators come up through, drainage and sewers and stuff like that. So, called my supervisor. He's like, I'll tell you what, tell him to send a squad out. And if there is an alligator, you call me because I want to be on that call. And I was like, well, I guarantee I am, because my pregnant ass ain't wrestling a gator. I'll slip my, hello? It's been a long time since I've been in animal control. I'll pole him. I'll get the rope around his neck and pole him, but you're wrestling. I ain't doing all that. Dispatch never called us back, so it was not an alligator. Yeah. But anyway, sorry, that's what I feel like these people probably thought. Old Garmany and Works. So
okay.
Anyway, they go out to where this woman saw this UFO, and sure enough, they see it in the distance. And so Works said that they stopped and they watched it for a minute. And he said that it looked like a street light, but it was out of place. So something was just off about it.
Okay.
And it was moving away from them. So they go after it? Question mark?
Why?
Because they're good officers, I think. Because that would be the day, like, can you go AWOL as a cop? Is that a thing?
I'm going AWOL.
I'm going with you. Hell, I'm driving. Get in. Girl, we're going home. No, we're going straight to the bar. That's where we're going.
We're actually going to another city. We're actually going to another state.
Yeah.
And then to the bar.
Yes. Another state. Because we're about to get into that. The city ain't going to work. So it's moving away from them towards the town of Geraldine. Great name for, by the way. So Work called the chief of police over in Geraldine and told him, like, hey, I wish I was could know what that conversation was, but basically, like, hey, this thing's coming your way. This UFO is heading towards your town. And apparently, this chief of police and Geraldine saw it too, and he claimed that it looked like a blimp. That's what he thought it was.
Okay.
So, the Fife police duo, they're not done. They keep going after this thing, and they could not catch up to it. So they claim that this object was reported in multiple law enforcement radio channels in that area. And Garmany and Works, they even met up with officers in another town called Dawson. So this is three towns now, guys. Another town called Dawson, and they all watched it together. So the Fife and Dawson police just had a nice little powwow, a nice romantic meetup, and watched this UFO.
Oh, okay.
As they were, that's how I remember it in my head. That's my fanfic. As they were back on their way to Fife, an officer from Crossville radioed that it flew over him at a low altitude. Now, the Fife boys, that's what I'm going to call them. Fife boys, they were driving along County Road 43 when they stopped and stepped out of the car. Why?
Because people are stupid.
They gotta be. They step out of the car in an attempt to see it again. And together, the men watch what they called a metallic triangle shaped craft fly over them. And this thing was big. It was between 2,000 and 3,000 feet wide.
No, thank you.
I don't even know how you can look at something and be like, that's easy, 2,000. Maybe 3. I don't know what 2,000 feet is. My house, maybe? No. I think our house is 1,600. I don't know, okay? But that's a big. And they were adamant that it was a craft, not a plane, because it had no wing. And it flew. That. It flew over them, Bryce, at 300 miles per hour. I really want to know if they clocked this thing on their radar. I'm kind of inclined to believe them, because first I was like, how do you know? And then I'm like, oh, you're in a cop car. You probably do know. Do they go that high? Cops?
I don't know. I think so.
I would assume so. But either way, that thing's fast.
I don't want to be part of it.
No, I would not be standing outside of my vehicle. That's for sure. Now, what seemed to bother them the most about this was that this thing was completely silent.
Oh, I hate that. Ugh.
Fred Works, he told one reporter that they watched it coming toward them and it eventually passed overhead. And he said while it was doing this, they just kept looking at each other and asking, where's the sound?
I don't even want to know.
I hate it so much. He told the Associated Press a week later, I'm not saying what I saw was a flying saucer, but what really got to me was the lack of sound.
Can you Garmany, blame them, though?
Absolutely not. No. Garmany was quoted saying, What I saw the first time was like nothing I ever saw before. It was not a helicopter. It was not a plane. Not a sound. Now, Ron Ogletree. I feel like you're going to like Ron Ogletree.
Okay.
He is a retired state trooper. And at the time all this happened, he was a post commander at Gadsden Post the night the Fife UFO was seen. And he said, first of all, I will say this, and you may feel free to quote, retired state trooper Ron Ogletree says, the federal government is lying through its teeth about the UFOs, period. They have been and will continue to be. I mean, y'all, he was kind of right.
Okay.
I mean, it was just a couple years ago the U.S. government did come out and be like, hey, we were lying. This is real.
BT dubs.
Yeah. You guys were right.
I know, right?
And so Ron Ogletree, he would go on to say, like, he wasn't there. He didn't see this thing. But he did know of Garmany and Works. And he said, like, that he believed them. So if they said this happened, this happened. Now, this episode, this UFO, it was allegedly reported to local and national intelligence agencies, Birmingham and Huntsville airports, the Marshall Space Flight Center, Maxwell Air Force Base, and the National Weather Service. They were calling everybody.
They were like, hello, Bill, yes. Did you see?
Bill, get the Space Center on the phone. And every caller that came in with a report about this thing, they did pretty much describe the same thing. Are you okay? Do you want me to keep talking? We're having an emergency, guys. It's okay.
Okay. Oh my god. I'm just dying.
Okay.
Strawberry got lodged.
Oh.
Okay.
Everything okay? Yeah, how many fingers am I holding up?
I can't see you right now. Hold on. 2, 3, 2. I guess 2, 1. I don't know how many you consider that.
I don't know. I just kept moving fingers. Are you good? You want me to keep going?
We're good. Sorry.
Okay. No, you're good. You started getting really red, and that's why I was like, I don't want to talk through this.
I was just attacked by my drink.
Produce.
By my drink and produce. It was coordinated efforts.
Okay. It's okay, crime, guys. Y'all heard it here first.
Oh my god, that was horrible.
Okay,
I'm good.
Oh, every caller, now they basically describe the same thing. Curved and triangular in shape. Like a banana?
I feel uncomfortable with that one.
I don't really get it either, but moving on. It was seen moving and hovering. It had bright lights on it, and it was completely silent.
I hate that so much.
As word spread over the next couple days, the town was visited by 4,000 tourists and 100 media outlets. Now, some of these outlets, they were, you know, they were reporting the story as news. They were, like, on it. And others were making light of it. They were even making fun of residents, which, like, come on, guys, chill out. When one eyewitness described the UFO as banana-shaped, somebody well ahead of their time started selling t-shirts that featured a banana shaped image and read I survived the Fife UFO. In one news report, a man and a woman referred to only as the Baileys were interviewed, and the woman said that it was the biggest thing to ever happen to that mountain, and she was sorry that she missed it. She didn't see the banana UFO. She didn't see the banana split.
Sorry, I'm still recovering.
I was proud of that one. That was on the fly.
I'm sorry.
Now, the man that was interviewed with her, he said that he was sure something else would probably happen. Now, in 2004, Larry Lingerfelt became mayor. And Miss Mayor Lingerfelt, he was a like-minded individual to me, to you, to our listeners. He decided to capitalize on this town history with the annual Fife UFO Days Festival. This is held every August. The festival has arts and crafts, horseshoe, children's games. It has food, a Civil War reenactment, live music. They have street dance. I don't know what that is. Rides in hot air balloons, which they did mention would be the only UFOs there. And in 2024, they added a 5K to the festival. Now, the proceeds went towards CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates of North Sand Mountain. And this is a group made up of trained community members appointed by a family court judge. And they represent children in court who have been removed from their homes due to neglect or abuse. So, I love that. That's great. I'm glad that this is going to a good Hello? A good cause. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I completely blanked. But I did add some pictures in. There are pictures. There's a picture of the supposed spacecraft. It was in newspapers. There's a funny little cartoon. And there is a flyer for the 2023 festival. And I thought this was just kind of a really sweet, nice little... nice little story. And surprise, mine's also a two-pada.
Two-pada.
Yeah, so we're, next week, we're gonna come back to Fife and see what else they're up to. Because we're not done with Fife, Alabama, y'all.
Fife is just, like, living it up. I'm sorry. I was listening very intently, and then I was dying very quickly. And Amanda just kept reading. I'm over here like...
I didn't know if this was like, you know, like, did you just like go down the wrong pipe or like something like that? And then I saw you start getting red and I'm like, it's not her natural skin complexion. It's not her natural color.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
Yeah.
It was a little rough.
If you have recovered though, I would like to ask you a favor.
Okay.
The image that I uploaded of the cartoon in the paper, I would love for you to read that to narrate.
Heck yeah. Bunch of... What? Is that a slur?
No, it's a derogatory term.
Idiots?
Close. Idiots.
Oh, you bunch of idiots. That is a banana. Okay. I'm like, is that a racial slur? Do I want to know?
No, that's just Alabama for idiot.
Okay. I already got it, but like then yeah. I put an accent on it and I went, okay. Oh gosh, this is just the joys. I'm really excited. Okay, so I feel like I know I didn't talk much. I died more than anything. But I was just really intently listening.
Yeah, I don't do many UFOs. And I feel like it's been a while since we did one.
It has been. I think it has been. Like, should I look and see? Do we want to know? I kind of think sometimes we're like, we don't want to know. We don't. That's too real for us. You know?
Yeah, like we've done. My coworkers the other day were asking me about the podcast. And I was like, yeah, we have like 160 episodes, and they were like, why didn't we know about this? Why didn't you ask? Y'all don't care about me at all. Bunch of jerks.
Right? Well, it's been about 32, 33 episodes. Last episode with a UFO was 130.
Which UFO was it? You did that. Was that for the Brazilian one?
Night of the UFOs in Brazil, yeah.
Why did I know that?
It's not the Brazilian one you're thinking, because you're thinking the one where they're like, it was dwarves. It was little people.
That's exactly what I was...
No, yeah. That one was like way forever.
That was wild. That was a fun that one. That was a silly one. Like we have... I feel like there's two types of UFOs. There's one like this one, and then the Night of the Brazil or whatever that one was, where they're just kind of silly and fun. And then you have the ones where people are like... Where they're being like chased by the... government planes and stuff.
Yeah. The one that you're thinking of is the Viringa UFO incident, which is episode 67.
That one. Okay. Wow. So we're like, what are we like every 30 or so episodes?
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. Every 30-ish episodes.
All right. Well, we'll have another UFO in the 90s. Y'all come back. Sorry. Now. You hear? You bunch of idiots.
Sorry. Oh, my God. But anyways, okay. I don't think we actually did a UFO until the 60s.
Yeah, it was a while. You did the first one. I know that.
I just don't remember. You know what? No, it was early on because it was. I know them. I can see them in my freaking head. It was US. It was.
Mm-hmm. I know the one because you took it from me. Unknowingly.
Which one did I take from you?
Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, that was a you problem, not a me.
That was the one. Oh, okay. When you take mine, it's a me problem. But when I take your stories, it's a me problem. Okay. Y'all see how this works now? It's a me problem.
Yeah. The one I'm looking for, I'm not seeing, because I'm pretty sure it was when Bree was part of the episode. The Pascagoula one was, in fact, episode 34. I know we've done one before that, because the very first one I did was, God, I can see their faces. They are an interracial couple. It was like
in the dog,
Betty and Barney Hill.
Yes, the Hills. I had the dog. Yeah,
the dog. Okay, they, Betty and Barney Hill, episode 20. So listen, when I first started doing UFOs, we did it a little more frequently, and then we stopped. Okay, so every 30 or so episodes, you're just kind of SOL. But now that we're talking about it, I feel like I haven't done a game in a hot minute either.
You haven't, and I would like.
But is that because we took a break?
Probably.
Let me see. Cursed song.
I do feel like it's been a while, though.
I mean, I'm still going, and I haven't seen game yet. Hold on. Disappearance, curses, murder, haunted, murder, curse, demon, kidnapping. Okay, there we go. Paranormal game. Was that really the last one I did? 115?
Oh, wow.
I'm having a hard time believing that's correct. I don't know why, but I am thinking that might not be correct. Let me look. Hold on. It is incorrect. It's 137.
I was like, whoa, because I was in the drive and then you...
Filtered, sorry.
Thank you. Filtered it? Oh my god.
My
not good with word recall.
Is that, yeah, it's been a minute. If 137, it's been almost 30 episodes. And for a minute, it was like every couple episodes. I was like, we're doing a game!
I like the games, though.
The games are fun. I'm not saying I'm going to do one anytime soon, because, you know. But, anyways, thank you all for listening to Helen Hills Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Helen Hills Podcast, X Helen Hills Pod, or Facebook by searching Helen Hills Podcast. You can find us on Linktree by typing in Helen Hills Podcast. If you want to support us, please like, review, rate, share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you have your own true crime or paranormal story suggestions or just words of encouragement, please email us at helenhillspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tell your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye.